This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of His righteous companions, all of the Prophets before Him, and all those who follow their way with righteousness until the last day. It is a rainy and gloomy morning, and we are discussing the surah of the bright morning sun. So this morning, inshallah, we are going to be looking at one of the most powerful surahs in the Quran. And I don't think it will be able to do justice to the surah in just one episode. So we might have to split it over a few episodes, inshallah. This surah is Surah Ad-Duha. Surah Ad-Duha, which many of us, inshallah, have memorized, which I hope we are reciting in our salah. This surah is so, so powerful that I myself, whenever I'm sad, whenever I'm feeling down, whenever I feel that things are difficult, I recite the surah. I ponder over its message and I allow it to affect my heart. Because really the message of the surah is a message of hope. It's a message of optimism. It's a message of Allah's help for the believers. This surah is, in my view, a surah which, if you understand it and apply its teachings to your life, it will protect you from depression and anxiety. Depression and anxiety, these are two of the most common problems that the world is facing today. It has been statistically proven that in America alone, there are over 17 million people affected by depression. 9 million of them have major depression. Wherever you go in the world, you hear people saying, I'm depressed, I'm sad. We had suicide rates escalating. You know, this has become such a big issue in our times. Why? Because we are disconnected from our Creator. We are disconnected from the source of peace. You know, if we follow the teachings of Islam, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us a dua to make every day. Part of the dua is A'udhu billahi min al-hammi wal-ghammi. O Allah, I seek your protection from depression and anxiety. These same two things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make dua against it 1400 years ago. And if we understand the Quran and we apply its teachings to our lives, then inshallah we can overcome depression, we can overcome these problems that we face inside of ourselves, and we can live an optimistic and happy life. Because happiness does not lie in anything else except the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are not connected to Allah, we cannot be happy. This is why we find so many people today who are coming into the fold of Islam. People who had everything in this world. I recall a story I heard recently from a convert, a very famous convert in the USA, who said that he had everything. He had all the wealth, he had all the cars, he had all the women, but he was depressed. And it's only when he gave all of that up and embraced Islam and gave up his fame and his celebrity status that he finally found happiness. So happiness lies in Islam. And the surah that we are going to tackle today, that we are going to, inshallah, go deep into, and we're going to enjoy and understand it as best as we can. This surah is a surah which helps us to overcome depression and anxiety. This is Surah Ad-Duha, the bright morning light. And it is the 93rd surah in the Quran. It is actually, according to the difference of opinion, either the second or the fourth surah to be revealed. So the surah we are discussing today was one of the first four surahs to be revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is from amongst the earliest of revelation. And that is why it is definitely a Makkan surah. It was revealed right at the beginning. The scholars are unanimous that Iqra, Surah Alaq, was the first surah to be revealed. But then there's some difference of opinion. Was Surah Duha revealed next, or Surah Mudassir and Surah Muzammil? So, you know, the stronger opinion seems to be Surah Mudassir and Muzammil were revealed, and then Surah Duha and Surah Inshirah. And alhamdulillah, what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, Surah Duha, then Surah Inshirah, and then Surah At-Tin, these three surahs have a combined theme of optimism. These three surahs have a combined theme of not giving up hope and of knowing that there is good to come after the hardships that we are in. So inshallah, by the time we have completed the tafsir of these three surahs, we'll be much more healthier inside ourselves, we'll be much more stronger individuals, we'll be able to tackle the problems of life knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. So let's start off inshallah by looking at the story behind Surah Ad-Duha, the reason for its revelation. or as it is referred to in Arabic, the sabab al-nuzul. Right? We spoke about this in the previous episode, that many of the surahs have stories behind why they were revealed. These stories are called the sabab al-nuzul, the reasons for revelations of those surahs, and they help us to understand the context in which the surah was revealed. Surah al-Duha was revealed in the very early days of Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just received his first revelations, and suddenly the revelation stopped. And there's difference of opinion. Some narrations say he did not receive revelation at all for 15 days. Some say 6 months. Some say few months, few days. There's a lot of difference of opinion. What the scholars have agreed upon, though, is that there was a period of time in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not receive any revelation. Not any true dreams, no visits from the angel Jibreel, nothing. This was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disbelievers began to mock him. And the disbelievers began to tell him that, has your Lord forsaken you? Has your Lord given up on you? And a'udhu billah, they used to say, has your devil forsaken you? And you know, this time was very saddening for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a difficult time, because not only had he had to deal with the way that the disbelievers were mocking him, but just not receiving revelation itself was a test. Because we all know the Quran and the joy it brings to our lives. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ getting to meet with the angel Jibreel. You know, the joy that he felt from those meetings and from getting the revelation. Being disconnected from that brought a lot of sadness to him. And so it was in this state when Rasulullah ﷺ was feeling very sad. It was at this point in time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Ad-Duha with the purpose and the theme behind the surah to reveal him of the sadness, to bring joy back and optimism back into his life. And the surah has remained in the Quran for each and every one of us, that when we are in that same situation, when we are feeling down, when we are feeling sad, when we are feeling like we can't go on, Surah Ad-Duha, recite it and understand it, and let it affect you the way it affected Rasulullah. Let it bring that love of Allah and that optimism back into our hearts. So what was the surah that was revealed? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal to Rasulullah that caused so much joy to enter his heart and caused him to feel hope and to feel loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And which, inshallah, if we recite the surah, we too will feel the same level of love. So what is the surah? It is Surah Ad-Duha, chapter 93, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالْدُّحَا. I swear by the early morning light, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and by the night when it is still, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَى, your Lord has not forsaken you, and he is not angry. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, and the afterlife, that which is yet to come, is better for you than that which has already passed. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, soon your Lord will give you that which will make you happy. أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, did he not find you as an orphan and give you shelter? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and he found you wandering and he guided you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and he found you in need of money and he gave you wealth. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَهَرْ, so as for the orphan, do not treat him badly. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, and as for the one who asks you for anything, do not shout him, do not chase him away. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, and as for that which Allah has blessed you with, then talk about it. This surah, literally every single verse of the 11 verses in the surah are a powerful, powerful remedy for depression and anxiety. If you analyze every single verse in the surah deals with this theme. Every single verse in the surah gives us a solution to help us overcome the problems that we are facing. Right from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by taking two oaths. He swears by the morning and by the night, contrasting the morning and night. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, it is to show the greatness of something. And also, it is to show the link between that and the theme which he's about to discuss. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the morning and the light, it's to give us hope. Because we all know, you know, that light signifies hope. We have many of these sayings amongst us, like the light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, the silver lining between the dark clouds. These type of sayings are to indicate that even in dark times, there's always hope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins on a similar pattern, that when you look at the sky and the morning light, that's your hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you hope, inshallah. So we are going to take a break now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are looking at the tafsir of Surah Ad-Duha. Surah Ad-Duha, a surah revealed at a time where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was feeling sad. A surah revealed to make him feel happy and to feel him, make him feel positive and full of energy and full of happiness. And the surah has the same effect on any believer who reads it with understanding. And so inshallah we are going to spend as much time as possible on the surah to take as much benefits as we can from it, so that we can apply its teachings to our lives and we too can have this positive mindset when dealing with the challenges of this world. Before we went for the break, we were looking at the first verse of the surah, which is Wadduha, by the morning light. You know, when we talk about good and evil, we always talk about light and darkness. When we talk about hope and loss of hope, we talk about light and darkness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same metaphorical terminology at the beginning of the surah by swearing and taking an oath on the morning light and the night when it is still. You know, showing us that the hope that we have should come from the morning light. You know, it should be a sign for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same one who brings about the morning light after the darkness of the night, is the same one who will bring hope into our lives, who will bring safety into our lives, who will bring ease into our lives after the hardships we are currently in. So this is a metaphor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using. He's stating it as an oath, but the oath is there for us to contemplate over and to take benefit from. So Allah begins with this oath, وَالدُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, by the early morning light and the night when it is still. So you can see this picture in your mind, the darkness of the night, and then suddenly the morning comes and the light shines in. That is how our lives are. That sometimes everything seems so dark around us, so much of evil around us, so much of hardships and problems, and we wonder, when is the help of Allah going to come? And then it comes. Like the morning light, the help of Allah comes and takes away our problems. After swearing an oath on the morning and the night, the very next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and everybody else who recites this verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Ma wadda'aka. This is negative. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka. Your Lord has not forsaken you. This is refuting, you know, if you look at it in the historical context, it's refuting what the disbelievers at that time were saying, where they were telling the Prophet ﷺ that your Lord has forsaken you, he's not sending any more revelation to you, and that, you know, this sort of thing. So Allah is saying, I have not forsaken you. And the message here is for each and every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forsake us. If we stick to the deen, if we stick to living lives which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we stick to living our lives in a way, and if we stick to being patient at times of difficulty and still being good Muslims no matter what happens in our lives, then Allah will not forsake us. So this is a very powerful message of hope. Very often when we are in difficult situations, you know, we look around and we see things go wrong, family members might have passed away, or someone is suffering an illness, or, you know, unemployment, or whatever it is that you're facing in your life. And then you wonder, why is Allah doing this to me? You know, has Allah forsaken me? Am I that bad a person? No, you're not. You're not. You're not a bad person. That's not, Allah does not send difficulties into our lives because we are bad people. Rather, it's the opposite. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that he will, that, sorry, I forgot the hadith I was about to state. The other hadith which I was going to state was where Rasulullah said that the most severely tested people on the Day of Judgment, the most severely tested people in this world are those who Allah loves. The most severely tested people in this world are the prophets, and then those closest to them in piety, and then those closest to them to piety. And alhamdulillah, we've been mentioning that hadith, the first hadith came back into my mind, and that too is a test from Allah, that Rasulullah said that when Allah loves someone, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, He sends tests into your life. This is a hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He sends them tests. So this is something to think about. When you are being tested, don't look at it as a punishment. Don't look at it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forsaken you. Don't look at it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, putting you through difficulties or He's punishing you. No, no. Allah is testing you because He loves you. Why? Because it's only through tests and difficulties that we become better people. It's only through tests and difficulties that we rise up and we become stronger, and that we reach levels that we never thought we were capable of. Look at the history of anyone throughout the history of this world who has ever accomplished anything. Any hero in the history of this world, you will see their life is full of difficulty upon difficulty. But the reason we remember them and their stories is because of how they overcame the difficulties. You notice everything they went through made them stronger. And so this is for us as well. When Allah tests us, it's a means of building us into better people. So don't think that Allah has forsaken you. No. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka. Your Lord has not forsaken you. Your Lord has not forsaken you. Wa ma qala. And He is not angry. He is not angry with you. He is not displeased with you. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in this verse. Many of us, when things go wrong in our life, we think Allah is angry with us. We think Allah is punishing us. We think we must have done something really bad for Allah to bring this into our life. No, Allah is not angry. Allah is helping you to get to Jannah. Why? Because Allah sends tests into your life, and you make sabr and you are patient with those tests. What is the reward for that except Jannah? That's why Allah is sending the test. It's not to do with Allah forsaking us or being angry with us. You know, this is how this verse should relate to us as people. We need to look at this verse and look at it in terms of our own lives. Remember, when you are reciting the Quran, recite it as if Allah is talking to you directly. Because it is Kalamullah. It is the speech of Allah to every single person on the face of the earth. So anyone who reads the Quran, I even tell this to non-Muslims, read the Quran as if God is speaking to you, and then you will understand His message. So Allah tells us, you know, imagine, you know, it's a day where you are feeling sad, and you are feeling down, and you're wondering, why me? And then you read, Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Your Lord has not forsaken you, nor is He angry. Very powerful words which hit the heart and really help you to get back up and to realize that Allah is on your side. Allah is on your side. As long as I'm being a good Muslim, as long as I'm trying my best, as long as I'm repenting for my mistakes, that Allah is on my side. He will not forsake me. He is not angry with me. And in the very next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives us something to focus on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the very next verse of Surah Duha, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The afterlife is better for you than what came before. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how to focus. He's teaching us where to focus. He's teaching us on what we should be keeping our minds, on what we should have as our goal in our lives. And that is paradise, Jannah. If we have this before us, if we have the idea of Jannah and paradise in our minds, then whatever we face in this world becomes easier. Unfortunately for many of us today, you know, Jannah has become an abstract term. We talk about it as if it's a myth or it's something, you know, far-fetched. But we don't live our lives in accordance to, you know, to that belief. You know, if we believe in paradise, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Jannah, then we'll be living our lives in a way that we are constantly working towards it. You know, the fact that we are talking about it, but we are living lives that are displeasing to Allah, there's some, you know, there's a problem here. Our lives are not in agreement with what we believe. Either that or we don't really believe it. So we need to go back and we need to think to ourselves that, do I really believe in Jannah? We need to have yakin in Jannah. We need to have this conviction that yes, if I do good, if I live a righteous life, if I am patient at times of difficulty, I will get paradise. I will get Jannah. And Jannah, subhanAllah, you know, is a topic on its own that we can discuss for hours and hours on end. Allah has revealed so much details about paradise, knowing that this is the primary motivator for the human being. Human beings are motivated by two things, pain and pleasure. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses both of these motivators in the Quran by talking about both paradise and hell. Paradise for the pleasure and hell for the pain. Right? So when we have these two ideas in our mind, it becomes easier for us to focus in the right direction. So in this specific verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving us direction. And He's telling us, don't worry about the present problems you are in. Don't be depressed or anxious because of something that you are facing right now. Focus on your goal. Right, focus on your goal. Focus on paradise, on Jannah. Don't let anything distract you from that. Because if Jannah is what you want, then everything else is immaterial. Everything else is just, you know, something that you have to step over to get there. And then it doesn't bother you anymore. It doesn't bother you if someone is backbiting about you. It doesn't bother you if someone's slandering you. It doesn't bother you when things go wrong. Why? Because you know, if I'm patient through this difficulty, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, the afterlife is better. The afterlife is better than what came before, than what I have right now, than what happened in the past. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here in clear terms that the afterlife is or should be our goal. So each and every one of us should focus on al-akhirah, the afterlife. Now there is another explanation for this verse, which is what is to come is better than what has passed. Meaning that in the future, in this world, you will have things which are better than what had happened in the past. And again, the scholars have reconciled between this, saying that it means both ways, you know. If you are saying that in the future you will have better than what you had in the past, the future does include the afterlife. It does include paradise, but it includes this world as well. So this is more of a encompassing translation, in that it takes into account al-akhirah to refer to the afterlife as well as our future on this earth. That while you're on this earth, things will get better. Things will get better. You'll still face tests, but things will get better. So, you know, this is a optimistic verse, letting us know that there's hope, that the future is bright, you know, like the morning sunrise, like ad-duha, the future is bright. So this verse, you know, there's two ways of translating it. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, the afterlife is better for you than what has passed. Or what is to come is better for you than what has passed. Whichever way you translate it, whichever way you use it, either way, you know, the message is clear that things will get better. That's the main message of this verse. Things will get better. Don't be depressed. Don't be anxious. Relax. Put your trust in Allah. Put your tawakkul in Allah. Because life will definitely get better if you do so. And you know, this verse is full of emphasis. You know, if you look at the verses in the surah, there's a lot of emphasis on these points. You know, Allah says, walal akhirat. Instead of just saying wal akhirat, He says walal. Now, this is a point in the Arabic language which I want you all to take note of, because this comes very often in the Quran. This la, lam with a fatha, it comes for emphasis. It's called in Arabic the lam of ta'akid, the lam of emphasis. When you see this la at the beginning of a word, Allah is emphasizing a point. He's emphasizing a point. Now, I'm mentioning this because this lam can't be translated into English. You know, in English we just said, and the afterlife is better for you than what has passed. But there the emphasis is missing, because we don't have this concept in English. So we have to look at this from an Arabic point of view, that Allah is emphasizing this. And you find this throughout the Quran, this lam. For example, when Allah talks about the test of life, He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that we will definitely test you with fear and hunger and loss of life and loss of wealth and loss of efforts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Asr says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْر, that definitely mankind is headed for destruction. So this lam is very important. Unfortunately, it can't be translated into English, because, you know, there's no concept like it in English. The closest we can say is to translate it as definitely. So we can see definitely the afterlife is better than what is than what has passed. So when we look at it with that point of view of the Lam, of the Aqeel, of emphasis, then this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just giving us hope, but He's telling us definitely. You know, it's one thing where someone tells you, you know, the future is going to get better. You know, they're saying it to give you hope. But when your Creator, the only one in the entire universe, or in the only one in existence who knows the future, your Creator and my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us, la, definitely, al-akhirah, the afterlife, and what is to come, is better for you than what has passed, and uses the word definitely, then you know for sure that what's to come in the future is going to be better if we are from those who please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try our best to be good Muslims. So, this is a very important point here. So, alhamdulillah, what we have looked at thus far, the first four verses of Surah Ad-Duha, by the morning light and the night when it is still, your Lord has not forsaken you, nor is He displeased. And definitely, the afterlife and what is to come is better for you than what has passed. These verses alone, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stopped there, it alone would have eased our hearts. It alone would have elevated our condition and helped us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be optimistic and go forward in life with the optimistic mindset. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not stop there. He goes on and He tells us even more. The next verse takes us to the past. So in this verse, Allah tells us about the future, to be optimistic about the future. The next verse, Allah takes us to the past to remind us, you know, about His favors of the past. But before He does that, there's one more verse about the future in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَسُوفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Right, so here we have verses 4 and 5 talking about the future optimistically. And then verses 6, 7, and 8 talk about the past in a very positive light. So what does Allah say here in the second verse talking about the future? وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. وَلَا, again, the emphasis, the la for emphasis, definitely, sofa, soon, nearby, in the near future, يُعْتِيكَ, يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord, Allah, will give you, فَتَرْضَى, and you will be happy. Now, there's so many points to take up from this verse. Firstly, looking at it from an Arabic perspective, you know, the amount of emphasis here is amazing. So, inshallah, what we're going to do, we're going to take one last commercial break. When we return, we'll conclude with the tafsir of Surah Ad-Duha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at Surah Ad-Duha, the chapter which brings us hope, the chapter about the morning light which comes about after the darkness, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that your Lord has not forsaken you, nor is He displeased. And what is to come in the future and in the afterlife in paradise is definitely better for you than what has passed. And as we come now to verse number 5, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And soon, your Lord will grant you that which will make you happy. Now this verse, there's a lot of emphasis in this verse. Again, the emphasis is lost in the English language. If you go to the Arabic, Allah starts off this verse by saying, wala sofa. Here there's two words for emphasis. La, again the lam of emphasis which we mentioned, definitely. And sofa. Sofa indicates in the future. But, you know, when it's brought up in this context, it's brought up here to indicate the near future. It's translated as soon. Soon. So Allah is saying definitely, soon. Definitely, in the near future, يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord will give you. And you know, again, looking at the Arabic language here, very powerful wording. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying, I will give you. He's not saying, Allah will give you. He's saying, your Lord will give you. Well, what's the psychology here? It's comfort. It's closeness. It's personal. You know, when you are feeling sad, you like it when people, you know, are comforting you and they tell you that, you know what, I love you, you're close to me. We like it when people say these things to us to make us feel happy. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comforting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by extension, every believer who reads the surah. Allah is comforting us and He's using the word Rabbuka, your Lord. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said, soon I will grant you that which will make you happy. Or soon Allah will grant you that which will make you happy. But no, Allah specifically uses the words, soon your Lord will grant you that which makes you happy. Making it personal. That Allah is saying, I am your Lord. I'm here to provide for you. Because the word Lord, the word Rabb, includes the provider. It means one of its meanings is the one who provides. Right? Because Rabb, Allah uses the verb form of Rabb to describe the parents. Rabb Bayani, that they provided for me and raised me up when I was younger. So this word Rabb means the provider. So Allah is saying, I am your provider. I am your provider. That's what he's saying here. I am your provider and I will give you. I will give you fatarra, that which makes you happy. Now for anyone in the world who is going through any type of sadness, any type of depression, any type of anxiety, any type of worry, if your Lord tells you, if Allah tells you, I will give you that which will make you happy, will that not make you feel happier immediately? Will that not raise your hopes and optimism? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. He is telling us in the Quran. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْدِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Definitely, soon, your Lord will give you that which makes you happy. He will give you فَتَرْضَى, then you will be happy. And you know, the word fa is used. And again, going back to the point of Arabic. You know, in Arabic, there's two words for then. Fa and ثُمَّ. Summa is used for then after a while, and fa is used for immediately. So if you look at the choice of words, Allah is saying that Allah will give you and then immediately you will feel happy. You know, Allah uses the word fa and not the word summa. Again, you know the importance of the Arabic language. When we know Arabic, the words of the Quran are so much deeper. If you just look at the translation, soon your Lord will give you that which makes you happy. But you know, the word la, the fa, the sofa, the usage of Rabbuka, all of these things are lost in the English language. So we have to go to the Arabic to understand the beauty of the words that Allah has chosen to use in the surah. So Allah says, and definitely soon, يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord will give you فَتَرْضَى, and then immediately you'll be happy. So this verse was revealed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a time when he was feeling sad. And again, by extension, it applies to every single one of us. When you are sad, when you are down, read the surah as if Allah is talking to you. As if Allah is telling you in person that the afterlife is better for you. Definitely it will be better for you than what you are facing right now. And soon, definitely your Lord will give you and then you will be happy. We need to internalize this. And I can't emphasize this enough, that we need to internalize this. We need to believe it. It's not just a matter of saying that this is what the Quran says, but we need to believe it. And you can see those who believe it when they are facing hardships and they still have that hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil in their hearts. They still have that tawakkul to Allah. You hear these words coming out of their mouths. You can see that these are the people who have understood. They have understood that Allah is there for them. And we need to be of those people. May Allah make us all from those who put our trust in Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will give you that which will make you pleased. Now in the context of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, we see this promise coming true. Because at that point in time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was facing the task of being the one to bring the message to the world. And the question was, how? There were, you know, millions of disbelievers and no believers, except for a handful. But Allah promised that He will give Rasulullah that which would make him happy. And within a period of 20 years, there were over 10,000 believers. And they had conquered Makkah and Medina and soon the entire Arab Peninsula. Within a period of 40 years, the message of Islam had reached as far as Spain and Africa and China and India and, you know, almost the entire known world at that time. Allah's promise came true. He gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which would make him happy. And this is again a message for each and every one of us. None of us have been tasked with that big, you know, a job as the messengers of Allah had. Yes, it is our job to do da'wah, but it's not on the same level as that of the messengers, as they had to state that they were prophets, they had to show miracles, they had to face the difficulties that the people put at their hands, you know. And still, Allah granted Rasulullah some such amazing victory and miraculous victory over the people. Do you not think Allah will help you in your problems as well? Now some people might say, but I'm not the prophet, I'm so small, why will Allah help me? No, don't think like that. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is to you as you think of Him. Very important hadith. Allah is to you as you think of Him. So if you're going to think negative of Allah, then that's what you're going to get. But if you're going to think positive of Allah, that's what you're going to get. And that's why another hadith, Rasulullah taught us to always be positive. He said the believer is optimistic, the believer is positive. When thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think about His good. That's why Allah keeps telling us in the Quran, He always uses the names Rahman or Rahim. You think about it, every surah, Allah could have started a surah with any of His names. You know, with Bismillah, He could have added any name after Bismillah, Al-Alim, Al-Azim, anything. But He used Ar-Rahman and Rahim. Why? To remind us of His mercy. So for those people who are thinking that, you know what, this verse doesn't apply to me, don't think like that. Don't think like that. That's not the way a believer thinks. The way a believer thinks is that every verse of the Quran applies to me, because this Quran was revealed for my guidance. So if we think in this way, and we approach this surah in this way, it will affect our hearts in a much more positive light. So just to recap what we mentioned until now, we mentioned the story behind the verse about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not receiving revelation for a while. We mentioned the oath on Ad-Duha and Al-Layl, the early dawn and the night, and how Allah is contrasting the concepts of light and darkness to give us hope, to show us that He is the one who brings hope into our lives. And then we see how Allah consoles the believers when He says, "Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala." Your Lord has not forsaken you. He has not given up on you. He has not abandoned you. Wa ma qala. And He is not angry. He is not displeased with you. Wa lal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula. And definitely the afterlife and what is to come is better. It is better for you than what has passed. وَلَسُوفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And definitely soon your Lord will give you that which will make you pleased. So what we see in the first half of the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the future, painting a bright picture of the future. And this should be the methodology of each and every one of us when dealing with other people who are going through difficult times. When you have a friend or a family member who is facing depression, who is anxious and worried about the future, you know, who's worried about one day becoming poor, one day, you know, someone dying, or one day becoming unemployed, you know, you've got that friend who's always anxious. You need to do the same thing to them that Allah does for us in Surah Duha, and that is paint for them a positive picture of the future. And there are a variety of ways we can do that. You know, you can sit to them and work out the options. Say, okay, if that had to happen, how can we deal with it? And they'll see, oh, it's not the end of the world. There are ways to get through. There are ways that we can push forward. You know, show them the bright side. Tell them stories of people who faced the same difficulties and it became good for them. You know, for example, if your friend is afraid of unemployment, then research and find out stories, and there are thousands of stories of people who, when they were unemployed, they ended up establishing their own businesses and doing much better. Right? If your friend is afraid of somebody they know passing away, take them to meet people who have dealt with that and who have overcome it and have become stronger. You see, we need to focus on the positives of the future. You know, we don't need to paint a fantasy version of the future where bad things are never going to happen. No. But we need to understand, and we need to make other people understand, that no matter what happens in the future, no matter what goes wrong, there's always positive. There's always good that at the, there's always, as the proverb goes, light at the end of the tunnel. There's always the duha all after the layl. So this is the picture we need to paint for the future when dealing with our own problems or helping other people overcome their problems. Let us think about the future in a positive light, because this is also part of thinking good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the one who has written our future. Allah is the one in charge of our future. So as believers, this is the way forward. Optimism. Think positive. Trust in Allah. Allah will grant us that which will make us happy. Make this something which you, you know, make it a motto in your life. Now the second half of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now adopts over the next three verses a different approach. A different approach to getting rid of depression and anxiety. The approach used in the past five verses was talking about the future and optimism in dealing with the future. The next three verses talk about the past and talk about the good things that happened in the past. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now brings Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention and our attention as well to how in the past He helped us. You know, and again, anyone who is going through any problem in the world, If you look into your past and if you analyze your own history, you will see there were times when you faced bigger problems and Allah helped you out of that. So Allah will definitely help you out of the problem you are facing today. And that is exactly the point that Allah draws our attention to in the next three verses, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you know, we are almost out of time, so we will go into details about the tafsir of these three verses and what they are referring to next week. But just briefly, what Allah tells us is, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Allah asks a question. Didn't I find you an orphan and gave you shelter? Again, you know, reminding us of the past that you were in a difficulty. Allah took you out of it. وَوَجِدْكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And if we found you wandering and searching and guided you. We guided you. Again, Allah is reminding of Allah's favors in the past that, you know, you were in this... You were in this situation, Allah gave you the way out. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And we found you in need of wealth, and we granted it to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now, you know, bringing our attention to the past. And now he's teaching us how to deal with the past. You see, one of the main causes of depression is when people focus on the bad things that happened in their past. What happens for many people is that they sit when they are alone and they think of every bad thing that ever happened to them. And it affects their hearts and it affects their minds and they become depressed. And in doing so, we forget. We forget about all the good things that happened to us in the past. Because definitely in the life of every individual there is both good and bad. We all have good memories and bad memories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in Surah Duha to put the bad memories aside and focus on the good memories. To put the memories of the hardships we faced in the past, to put the memories of those hardships aside and focus on the times when Allah helped us through the hardships. So now Allah is now using the past to create optimism. Right, so now we are learning in the surah, number one, how to deal with the future. Think positive. Think about Allah is going to help you. Allah is going to grant you that which is best for you. And now he's teaching us how to deal with the past. Remember Allah's favors. Remember that when you were in difficulties before, Allah helped you out of that difficulty. So definitely, if he did that, he'll help you out of the difficulty you are in today. So this is the main message of Surah Duha. And it's not over yet. Alhamdulillah, there's so much more to talk about in terms of solutions for depression and anxiety in the surah. So much more points to go into in the last six verses. We still have, subhanAllah, six verses to go through in details. And each of these verses, you know, has a very powerful effect in helping us stay positive. So what we're going to do, inshallah, is next week we are going to go into the details. You know, what does Allah mean by we found you an orphan and gave you shelter? We're going to look at the history behind that verse, what Allah is referring to. What Allah is referring to when he said that we found you wandering and searching and we guided you. And what did Allah refer to when he said that we found you poor and we gave you wealth? And then we're going to look at the other three verses of the surah as well. Note that every single verse of the surah, without any exception, deals with this topic. So with that, inshallah, just before we end, a very quick recap of the main points to take from today's lesson from Surah Ad-Duha. Number one, focus on an optimistic view of the future. The future is bright because Allah is in charge of the future and Allah loves us. So focus on an optimistic view of the future. Number two, when thinking about the past, think about the good. Think about all the times Allah has helped you. Think about all the times that Allah has blessed you. Don't worry about the bad things that happened in the past. That's in the past, it's over with. Think about the good. And that will help you to stay positive with your present situation as well. Those are the two key lessons from the first half of the surah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah taught us, so ask him every day, A'udhu billahi min al-hammi wal-ghami. We seek protection in Allah from ham, from depression, wal-gham, and from anxiety. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran the light of our hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana until we meet again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.